Get ready. K-Wave is coming back to Melbourne in 2014. Following the inaugural Korean cultural event last year, K-Wave returns with a plethora of Korean food, cultural stage performances, a K-pop dance competition, and K-pop idol sensation Eric Nam live on stage for a Q&A. Oh, pretty baby. K-Wave 2014, back once again at Federation Square, Saturday, September 6th, a free event for all ages. Visit kwavefestival.com for more information.
Asian Pop Radio Australia. Young one and gone, 절대 없어, 결국엔 넌.
Yes, hello and welcome to Asian Pop Radio Australia for another week. I am Jay John and joining me in this studio is...
Helen from SQ Entertainment.
Hello, Helen. You're my co-host this week for a very special reason. What would that be, by any chance? Do you know?
Well, yeah, since I'm organising it, it's the K-Wave Festival 2014, second year in the running.
This is very exciting for everyone involved, of course. It was a big production last year, very big event. We were hoping, fingers crossed, that it was all going to go to plan. It seems like it did.
Yes, it did.
And it's coming back again for another year.
Yeah, so there was a lot of requests from the audience for it to come back for the second year, and we took that into consideration. And also, you know, the audience gave us a lot of feedback.
Fantastic. So. Well, of course, it is a big celebration of Korean pop culture, and this is a pop culture event, one of the biggest now on the Melbourne calendar for Korean culture. I reckon it is, don't you think?
Oh, I don't know.
I reckon you're right.
They'll have to be for the audience to decide.
Yes, I think so. Well, last year's event obviously was jam-packed. This year, people are expected to head to Melbs from all corners of the country, and we can see on Facebook and Twitter that everyone's talking about it. Going to see a stack of entertainment, including K-pop star Eric Nam, which we can't wait for. First of all, it's a free community event held at Federation Square. Everyone's just waiting in anticipation, like hanging on every word that you're saying at the moment, Helen, because they want to get all the goss, get the lowdown. But everything's pretty much been announced, right? Like,
yes,
no more secrets.
No, I think that everyone was just hanging on to see who the special guest was because, I mean, it was kind of hard to top Eat Your Kimchi from last year.
Yeah, so
we had to think of, you know, who can come down, and it was quite a headache for us to think, you know, who can we bring down that would be suitable for the event?
Sure.
And also doesn't blow budget.
Well, we'll have to talk a little bit more about Eric later on. And apparently we've got a little bit of a message from him as well.
Yes, we do.
Cool. We'll hear that very, very soon. I thought we should kick off with Juna's new song. And the song, of course, is called Red. And what do you say about this one? It's a very provocative video, but you will luckily not get to see that because it's radio. Get on YouTube later on. Asian Pop Radio.
Margaret Cho.
365.
We are AO Crew.
Hello, we are Sam Lu.
The country's largest community radio Asian pop music show.
We love you, Australia!
Asian Pop Radio Australia.
Across the Community Radio Network, this is Asian Pop Radio Australia with Jay John this week and one of the organisers of the K-Wave Festival coming up next Saturday in Melbourne. Of course, Helen joins me. There's Yuna, who fronts girl band 4Minute, recently putting an entire party on by herself to thank those who helped her with promotions for her new solo album. On the day, the party surrounded a pool theme where Yuna wore red lipstick and a sexy black bikini. Sadly, the day didn't turn out completely as expected, Helen, as it rained the whole time. Awkward. Is rain one of those things that you are kind of petrified about when you're putting on an outdoor festival?
We are living in Melbourne. Rain is always going to be an issue, and the weather is always going to be an issue, because really we don't know what it's going to be like on the day until the night before, really, where we kind of go outside and put our hand out and test whether the weather's going to be
good
or not.
Hail.
It could be hailing. It
and
could
then
be
get
anything.
Too hot.
Exactly. So for anyone who's going to be coming out, bring you know, your usual Melbourne safe gear.
Everything. So raincoat, umbrella,
and I mean,
slap.
Last year, people were very well prepared. Like, it did rain a little bit last year, and people brought umbrellas and just stayed with their umbrellas. Melburnians are very prepared.
We can eat a little bit of kimchi to warm you up while you're standing in the rain. It'll work out. As long as you look after the electrical side of things, because I remember a few years ago being in Malaysia at MTV World Stage, and it rained, and they went, oh, we weren't expecting this, even though we're in tropical downpours all the time, and the water was going onto all the electricity, and it wasn't pretty.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure that Federation Square will have all that
Sure. All right, well, Helen, can you remind us, what was your motivation for starting a Korean cultural event in Melbourne back in 2013?
The initial reason to start K-Wave was just to kind of unite the community, the K-pop community, because we do know that in Melbourne, there are K-pop communities. They do have small little gatherings like DBSK groups gathered here and or, you know, Big Bang gatherings and stuff, but they never actually come together.
Yeah.
And we just want to bring that whole group together just to have fun on the day.
Well, it is like that, isn't it? Because a few people have been SMSing us and tweeting us to say, hey, are the Asian Pop Radio crew going to be down there because we want to meet? And it's so easy to say, hey, yeah, everyone that's got something to do with K-pop or Asian pop's probably going to be there. And yeah, let's all meet here. It's going to be so easy.
And I feel like everyone just kind of knows each other in the K-pop world, really.
Exactly.
I mean, I bet you a lot of people already know who's going to be performing.
Yeah.
Because it's everyone just knows who the usual K-pop performers are, you know?
Well, we've got a couple of good-looking people in the studio now that we're going to talk to very, very soon about their performance at the event, so stick around for that. But how long did it take to plan last year's event?
Oh my god, last year's event, I mean, I can say it now because it's over, but it was a shamble. Like, seriously, we planned it. It was probably 8 months worth of planning,
right.
But things just keep going wrong. It kept going wrong because it was our first year. We had no idea what we were doing. We were learning as we were going.
Yeah.
But hopefully this year we've learned from what we, you know, what we did wrong last year.
Has this year's event come together faster than it did last year? Or?
Yeah, it did. It did take the same amount of time, but it was more spread out. We were a bit more relaxed, and we kind of met targets, and we had a plan, and everything kind of fits together. Whereas last year was, did we do this? No. Okay, someone go do this now. Whereas this year we actually knew what we were doing.
Yeah. You often have to make some mistakes before you learn how to do things the right way.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect. What's been your biggest hurdle this year, Helen, if any?
The biggest hurdle would have to be trying to somehow make this year better than last year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's great.
It went really well.
Last year's went really well, and we kind of did make a big announcement, though. You know, it's probably my fault because I kept saying, we'll make next year's better. We'll make, you know, it'll be bigger and better.
Yeah.
A lot of people are holding me to that statement. So it was kind of like, how can we make this year a lot better? And that's when we came up with the whole idea of Battle of the Fans.
Yeah.
Because last year was just, we'll have a festival, we'll have dancing. But this year it's more themed. It's a lot more organized, so cool. to speak. There was already interest because of last year, and people kept up to date with us. They followed us on Facebook. They joined our newsletter. But then when we did announce our special guest, it just exploded.
Yeah,
it just,
of course.
It just exploded.
People had a chance to meet and greet, and they sold out nice and quick. And
yes.
There are a few good volunteers around that are making it happen, right?
Yeah. Well, we do depend a lot on our volunteers, and we're very grateful for those that did apply. We had a huge amount of people applying to volunteer this year, and sadly, we can't take everyone because it's just too much to handle. So we took as many as we can, but hopefully the volunteers that didn't make it still come and enjoy the day. Maybe if you can come say hi.
Or come volunteer for Asian Pop Radio.
Yes, that too.
All right, stick around, everyone. We're going to keep talking all things K-Wave with Helen. Follow us on Twitter at Asian Pop Radio. Like us on Facebook, fb.com/Asian Pop Radio, so we can keep you up to date on all things K-Wave. For now, we're going to another K-Pop track because we're playing nothing but K-Pop this week. It makes sense. And it is Halo with Fever on Asian Pop Radio.
Mam zaraz, so Namaste. Hello, this is Alexander Liu Zabio, and when I'm down under, I love listening to Asian Pop Radio Australia.
Asian Pop Radio Australia, that's Halo Fever, the six-member boy group debuting in June 2014. The name means that the six members will come together to form Perfect Light. Fever is their title track based on the new school style, not the old school style, Helen, with elements of hip-hop, electronica, and funk, and is all about young, passionate love. This week, the song debuts at number 30 on the Mnet K-pop chart in Korea. What do you think of that, Helen? Do you like that one?
Yeah.
Do you reckon anyone could perform to that on stage at Fed Square?
They're quite new, so I actually haven't. That's the first time I've heard of the song. It's quite good. I like it.
Yeah, a bit of a rookie group for the show this week. Now, someone that would know all about K-pop, of course, would be Simon and, of course, Martina from EachaKimchi.com. They were the two main attractions, I guess, last year.
We have to count Suzy. She was one of the attractions as well.
The fans
just went nuts for Suzy. I mean, I know a lot of people speak about Simon and Martina from Eat Your Kimchi, but when Suzy went down just to kind of sell the merchandise, she was just swarmed by fans wanting to take photos with her. She was definitely a star in her own right.
We got the chance to have a bit of a chat to Simon and Martina during the K-Way Festival in 2013. Here's a little bit of what happened.
Hi, I'm Simon.
And I'm Martina.
And we're from EatYourKimchi.com.
And you're listening to
Asian Pop Radio Australia.
So you're completely used to the Korean lifestyle now, or do you still get thrown a curveball sometimes when something completely wacky happens? You go, wow, that would not have happened, you know, back home.
Well, we're not fully acclimated everything yet. Like, there's some things that we still can't get used to, like taxi culture. Like, even though we take a lot of taxis, it's still something that we are uncomfortable with.
There's no seatbelt. Yeah. Like, you don't put your seatbelt on, so sometimes the seatbelts are buried in the seats, and so you're trying to pull it out.
And they're like, oh no, don't put on a seatbelt, and I'm like, I don't want to die.
I'm gonna put on my seatbelt, okay?
Did you ever expect that you'd be walking through the streets of Seoul and have to get stopped for selfies?
No.
Because how often does it happen? You get it a bit regularly, yeah?
It happens a lot, yeah.
It's on a daily basis now,
Going on the weekends is bizarre because I used to be able to just go out wearing whatever and pick my nose and pull my wedgies. Yeah. Not that I did that.
Is it fair to say that your interest in K-pop started with your video in 2008, How to Dance K-pop Star?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was really the first experiences that we had gathered from our experiences with our students, and then we did that for teachers who didn't understand K-pop and weren't giving it a try. Yeah. They were just saying like, oh, this is rubbish, I don't like this, and we really wanted to say, if you get to know this, your teaching will really get better, because you're connecting with the student's culture,
And you've been on Dead Poets Society or something, knowing how to dance K-pop style.
That's a pretty awesome comparison.
How much of your success do you think is based on just pure good timing? I mean, like you said, you arrived mid-2008 and video blogging was only just starting to take off in Korea, and then you were there, you knew about it all.
No, that's exactly what we say a lot of times, because people will say to us, you know, oh, I want to start a video blog, but I don't think I can because it's too late. And we always say to them, you know, that's not the case, because no one else is doing what we're doing. Still, you know how many foreigners live in Korea and have different experiences than us that they should be sharing? They should be sharing their life in Busan, in Jeju, in the countryside.
Except now, like when we started K-pop Music Mondays, I didn't really know of any other chance to do something like that. But now everybody and the mom is doing music reviews
And K-pop reaction videos.
Just an understand reaction videos.
As soon as it comes out, okay, here's my reaction to it.
Do you have a final message for your Aussie fans?
Thank you so much for watching us. I'm amazed that you watch us, and I hope that you keep on doing so. I don't necessarily understand why you watch us, but thank you for doing so nonetheless.
And we were so happy to meet you guys because you're the closest to our time zone. So we talk to you guys the most, I think, and you guys are the ones that are always like, it's K-pop Music Tuesday because it's 1 o'clock in the morning for you, and it's still midnight, and it's still the morning in North America, so we're like, we've got time. So you guys help keep us in check about remembering that there's other people around the world watching.
The whole K-Way Festival was a wonderful experience, and I hope that we see more festivals like this in the future. Yeah. It was awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And see you next time.
Yes.
So, of course, as we said, very big attraction, Simon and Martina of Eat Your Kimchi, and they were just getting swamped everywhere, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Sydney, Melbourne, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't expect it. We didn't expect it. We have to say the security was a bit lacking. we are so sorry to David Park at KCO because they almost, the fans were outside.
Pressed
against
the
walls and the windows trying to get in, and Susie said she could feel it shaking.
And the window cracked a little bit. COVID, apparently.
No, no, okay, no. Not that far.
And there were explosions.
No, okay, not that far.
And people
far.
Were getting stent. No, they weren't. They really weren't. Of course, Eric Nam's going to be just as popular, but he will be safe.
He will be safe. We'll definitely have better security this time. He won't be swamped with people. Yeah, he is definitely really popular. The meet and greet sold out so quickly, and we have to apologize because I know a lot of people were saying that they sent through emails and they weren't getting responses, but you have to know that, you know, that we were so swamped by emails, we couldn't get through them fast enough.
All right, so we've got a little bit of a special message from Eric now, is that right?
Yes, yes.
Cool. All right, let's see what Eric has to say.
Now, what's up, Melbourne? Hey, everybody, this is Eric Nam, and in case you haven't heard, I am making my way down to Melbourne on September 6th, 2014 for the 2014 K-Wave Festival. I'm incredibly, incredibly, incredibly excited to be seeing you guys, so I'm really, really hoping that you guys will all come out to the event and show your love for Korea and K-pop and for this awesome, awesome event.
Excellent. Can't wait to see Eric. Let's get into his track now. This is his solo song, Ooh-Ooh. Ooh-Ooh on Asian Pop Radio Australia.
Across the community radio network, this is Asian Pop Radio Australia with your host, Jay John. 이렇게 빠질 줄 상상도 못 해봤어 넌 누구니 넌 제치머니 내 말은 마음에 달빛처럼 네가 내려와 좀 느껴 이런 기분 눈짓 몸짓 하나하나 날 유혹해 심장과 눈과 머리가 다 멈췄었어 먼저 다가가는 경우 기도 무지 다리 좀 무리 전에 번호 안에 줄 서면 나 묻지 딱 좋은 기차에 좀 더 가까이 천천히 알아가자 난 말 따위 내일 아침 침대 위 날 깨우면 속삭여 달콤히 뭐라도 좋은 일 네 얘기를 해준대 난 궁금해 널 알고 싶어 잔잔한 가슴에 바람처럼 네가 불어와 나 원래는 아니랬어 목소리 향기 하나하나 날 자극해 숨결이 조금 밝이다 마비됐어
Asian Pop Radio Australia, of course, signed under B2M Entertainment alongside superstar Lee Hui, one of our favourites, Speaker, and a stack more. Eric first appeared on Birth of a Great Star 2 in 2012. He released his first album, Cloud 9, in January 2013. Has been entertaining us on After School Club now. Of course, he is coming down to K-Wave in Melbourne and one of the main attractions. Helen, you've had a chance to speak to him and his people a little bit. What's
yes,
he like?
Yeah, so I've spoken to Eric. Drake and his management before. I haven't actually seen him. You know, we did have a chance to go to Korea, but two other went on my behalf and they got to see him.
Very cool.
But no, I only got to speak to him on the phone, and he's great. I mean, he speaks perfect English, which helps. And he's just a very down-to-earth guy. You wouldn't notice that he's a K-pop star at all.
He's a little like Jay Park, how he's grown up in the US and then gone over to Korea and started a bit of a K-pop career. Good English for that reason.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Very good. He's going to be, I'm sure, very, very entertaining. Can't wait to see him. Let's get into another track now. A bit of classic K-pop. This is from 2012. Miss A with Bad Girl, Good Girl on Asian Pop Radio. The Community Radio Network. This is Asian Pop Radio Australia on radio stations like Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, 2SER in Sydney, Switch 1197 in Brisbane, and Tank FM in Hobart, which I was lucky enough to have a bit of a listen to while I was in Hobart for the first time last weekend, which is really bizarre listening to your own show in another state that you've never been to before. But it's great to have everyone's support. So thank you. Keep listening to us. Follow us on Twitter and, of course, like us on Facebook. Now, Helen, let's talk about this K-pop dance component of the event. What's in store for us and what are we going to see? What's it all about?
Loads and loads of K-pop.
Makes sense.
That's what it's going to be about. There's some singing, there's some dancing, there might be both. We do have a lot of dance groups that you might already know about, but you know, at K-Wave, you know, we try to also promote some of the up-and-coming as well, and we've received a lot of audition this year where, you know, we haven't seen before, and some of them are like even just high school kids, but we think, are really good and, you know, just ready for the stage. So K-Wave is also just a platform for performers as well. You know, there's a lot of great talented performers, and sometimes they just need a big stage to go on and show the audience what they have.
Well, we've got two people in the studio right now that we've had on the show before, and you will be very familiar with who they are, the group they are from, but you might not be aware that they've had a little bit of a name change. So of course you might know them as Kamikaze Mugen. They are back as KM United. It's Jonathan and Jason. How are you going?
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Very well. Firstly, why the name change? We actually liked Kamikaze Mugen. What's going on?
Well, Kamikaze Mugen is a... we like it too, but it's a bit long, so, and it made it hard to describe to people, new people who were trying to look us up.
Yep.
So we decided to keep our initials. We're kind of fond of it. We're very fond of it.
That's why we call ourselves APRA, because it was too long.
Yeah.
We cut it down, make it easier for the people.
Yeah, KM. KM. Good ring to it, yeah? And also, we decided KM wouldn't be enough. We tried to include all our support, all the people who support us and like our fans.
Sure.
And so we borrowed from Cube, which is one of our favorite K-pop artists companies.
Agencies, yeah.
Yeah, and we used their United to show that we feel
it
like family
with
them.
Good, you went with a theme that works.
Yeah.
Jason, before we go any further, I just want to ask you, you've all performed together quite a few times now at different events. Where have you performed?
We go way back. I think like around like 6 years, maybe?
Four to six years.
Yeah. We perform at anime convention. Conventions, K-pop conventions, just like festivals in general. So
yeah,
like we had a lot of performances.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you put your hands up again for K-Wave this year once again. Why did you apply, Jonathan?
Well, I think to be honest, it's because we enjoy performing, and as Helen pointed out before, performing. Yeah. People, it's a good chance to perform. I don't think we can pass up such a good chance to perform. It's a good event, and I hope it keeps running.
Well, yeah, because I was looking through the list of people that were applying for K-Wave, and I was like, where is Kamikaze Mugen? No, I literally went, where is Kamikaze Mugen? Because I didn't see your name. I actually contacted Jasmine.
Jasmine.
I contacted Jasmine, like, are you guys really not applying this year? And she's like, no, we are applying. So I knew Kamikaze Mugen before K-Wave, and that was like back at Hachi Sounds.
Yeah.
And I remember that. I mean, I think I presented... No, I didn't present them with that. No, I presented when they won the dance contest at Hachi Sounds. I remember that. How do you actually feel when you get on stage as a group to an event like K-Wave? I mean,
it's
pretty big. I mean, last year was 30,000 people, so...
Wow. I didn't even realize it was that big.
How do you feel when you get on stage? Peace, I guess, for me. Peace? What about you, John?
I think it's a bit different for all of us. For me, I get a bit of a rush. And I still feel nervous on stage, but it helps.
That's why he stops up sometimes.
Yeah. You're not supposed to tell them that.
I love the way most people are actually petrified when they get on stage anytime, but you feel at peace, Jason.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Like, you get to showcase what you do, and you do it well, and it feels good.
And so. You've done all the hard yards, put in all the hard work, and now you're there, and you just go for it and have some fun.
Yeah, just go for it.
All right, are you able to tell us what song you have chosen for the event this year, or is it a hush-hush secret? Are they thinking about it?
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay. Well, we're doing Beast's Good Luck.
Great.
Yeah, I hope that everyone enjoys the song. We definitely did.
Helen, is there any chance that two groups would, by any chance, do the same song?
Actually, we do this year have two groups doing the same. Don't worry, it's not yours.
Oh. But,
you know, like May Threen, our production manager, she's done very well with the run sheet. So she will definitely not do it back to back. So we don't want anyone to compare. It's basically each artist or each, you know, crew or each singer is their own, you know, their own artist on the stage. So don't compare. I mean, everyone has their own unique way of singing a song or of doing a dance. The reason why we let two songs of the same songs on stage is because we think we're just judging based on their performances.
Everyone does their own thing their own way. So like some people present good radio, Asian pop radio do the other way. Alright, so how long has it taken to train for this one?
For Good Luck.
Yeah. I think for us it's
like our fastest one ever.
Yeah?
Maybe not our fastest, but it's definitely one of our fastest.
Okay. Yeah, but it always takes a good amount of time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, I think we're one of the slower groups.
because we all have different schedules. That's why.
Yeah.
Excellent. Why do you think people should head along to K-Wave on September 6th?
It's a better question. Why not?
Well, why
it's
not?
It's such a good event, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you enjoy K-pop, I definitely recommend it. And if you enjoy dancing, it's also a pretty good one.
Short answer was to support us.
Yeah. Oh.
That's okay. I'm putting words into your mouth.
Oh, right.
All right. Jason and Jonathan, of course, KM United. Thanks so much for joining us on our K-Wave special. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You're on Asian Pop Radio Australia. Gonna get into another track now. Cross Jean, and the song is called Amazing Bad Lady. There you go. Asian Pop Radio. Back in the studio with us once again, it is Phil, but this time he has brought along Sarah. How you going, guys?
Hello, I'm good.
Jace, I just want to say something before we start.
Oh, yeah?
Just for the record, I didn't mean I was rubbing myself. I texted him because I was running late and I was driving.
He did.
Yeah. And I got stuck in traffic. And I was just holding my phone down, trying to make sure no one could see me texting.
He's very professional.
He's being,
From texting while he drove.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he texted me to say, I'm rubbing late. And I said, well, if you weren't doing that, you would have got here in time.
Caught
right-handed.
It's totally going to be censored. Okay, another big week of K-pop news coming at you. G-Dragon and some relationship talk to get it started, Phil.
Yeah, have you guys been following the Ice Bucket Challenge?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Have you done it, Sarah?
No.
No?
Well, we prepared earlier.
So. I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to that. I like the charity, though.
Yeah, for a good cause, I guess.
But I just feel like people are doing it for 5 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
And half of them are just doing it just to get likes
just
and stuff.
Just jump on the wagon.
I'm not for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm all about charities.
Well, bring it on.
A lot of K-pop idols have participated this week.
Mm. Yes.
And how much have they raised? Like 60 million or something.
Oh, it's an incredible amount.
Globally.
Last I heard was 10 million.
Last I heard it was 30, so it'll be up there. Yeah.
It's probably more than that now.
Yeah.
But anyways, a lot of K-pop idols have joined the cause, and one of them was G-Dragon. He posted one on his public Instagram account, and then he posted another private one, apparently, and it got leaked out. And in the video, he says he nominated My Sweet Kiko.
Right.
And now people think he's dating the Japanese model, what's her name? Kiko Mezhara.
Okay, yeah.
Mizuhara. Yeah, and they've been linked together, you know, in the past.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of fans have just jumped to the conclusion.
So why would he... So hang on. Was he like shirtless in his Instagram one and did his own one for a special someone and was like, apparently, hey, look at me, guys, fucking challenge.
There's been some talk. It was meant to be like direct message on Instagram. You know, you direct message. Yeah.
That's a lot of effort to go to make a direct message. But I guess when you're wooing someone, wooing children, you would make that effort.
Well, I know there was like some slight rumors last year and stuff like that with her. So there was some rumors about her a few years ago saying that, you know, so-and-so was going on with G-Dragon.
Yeah, but you know, they denied that they're in a relationship. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see how this has turned out. Yeah.
Well, there you go. A few hot K-pop stars that need some cooling down, right?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting though, because actually a few days before that, he posted a message on Instagram, on his public one, saying something about like he wanted some privacy, and is privacy too much to ask for?
Instagram's not the place for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hashtag privacy.
Yeah.
He posted that and a lot of his fans thought he was depressed because...
Well, I heard the other side of that, that quite a few celebrities during the week were reported on because they'd had a bit of a break and had a bit of a break from social media for 4 or 5 days. And then all these people are like RIP Justin Bieber and all this kind of thing, because they thought because they're not on social media and they're not as active as they usually are, they must be dead.
Well, announcement people do have a life outside their work life.
Yeah, just shows... except for Phil, I and yourself, Sarah. Yeah,
exactly.
We're always working it to the bone.
That's it.
All right. And, well, apparently a K-pop idol is up on assault charges. Is that right?
It just seems like it's getting ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
The guy I thought was, you know, a great guy.
Kim Hong-jung.
Kim Hong-jung has been, you know, allegedly assaulted his girlfriend. Ex-girlfriend.
That's kind of a big no-no, isn't it?
Yes.
In, like, it's a very big no-no. In, like, just humanity.
Yeah, a lot of his fans have jumped, you know, his defense.
He's got a lot of haters too, though.
Yeah.
So what's the allegation? That there was a heated moment and a bit of a assault there?
Yeah, apparently he beat her a couple of times this year and she fractured her ribs.
Oh my God.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So she's gone to media or she's gone to police?
She reported to the police and the media picked it up.
Right.
And she filed a complaint and she submitted, you know, her photos.
She's got evidence of everything.
Yeah, of her bruises and the text messages, photos from 2 years ago of when they were dating. And funny enough...
It happened 2 years ago. Why didn't she do that then?
No, it happened this year.
Oh, okay,
and,
right.
And she reported the month afterwards.
But we do know that sometimes when people are getting abused or sexually
abused,
it does take time sometimes for people to decide that they need to go forward and they blame themselves. It's horrible.
It's
horrible.
Emotional roller coaster.
It's kind of interesting though because his company, you know, said they only dated for a few months.
Yeah.
And
well, they'd do anything to protect their asset, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's an asset, so...
Well, hopefully not.
And they haven't... Hopefully not. They've been quite quiet since evidence came out, you know, that showing that they dated for, you know, 2 years now.
Yeah.
Well, I hope
it's a hard subject.
I hope it's not true.
Let's
I hope it's true for K-pop fans, for his fans. And if it is, then I hope that he gets what he has coming to him.
Yeah.
Sarah, what do you think? Because you were a pretty big fan of him.
I was, man. Boys Over Flower for life.
Mm.
I love that show.
I might add...
What did you call him? You call him the big nose guy.
Yeah, big nose guy.
I might add right now that even though he was the gentle and soft character in the series was pretty violent itself.
Yeah.
There was a few punch-on scenes.
I watched the Japanese version, I watched the Korean version.
Well, did you watch the American version?
That was horrible.
Wasn't that tragic?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, didn't go far.
It was funny because fans had digged up, you know, comments that he made interviews last year one of the interviews...
Try to piece it together.
Yeah, in one of the interviews he said that he wouldn't hurt anyone, he would rather get hurt by himself. He quoted a scene where he had to film with another actor for a new drama, for one of his new dramas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he had to flick or punch or something, punch his throat or something.
I remember that.
And he didn't want to do it, so he was like, oh, you know, he would rather be the one who got hurt.
Wasn't that in Boys Over Flower with Kim Jong-di and him flicking her?
Well, the one thing you're forgetting, Sarah, is that K-pop dramas are rehashed over and over and over again. It's basically the same screenplay, and then they copy-paste.
Yeah, pretty much.
Different K-pop artists.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting because a lot of fans have said that he seems like a nice, quiet guy, but people are saying that he kind of seems a bit creepy now that they think about it.
Is she famous too, though, his girlfriend?
No, she hasn't been named. She's been kind of like...
So if people were to go into an investigation to find a personality characteristics, what if she's just in it for the money? Who knows?
Well, maybe a famous person could be in it for the money too.
Maybe she just Googled, you know, some images.
All right, so let's wait to see what happens and hopefully everything works out.
Well, I
hope
it's not true.
Yeah, well, let's reserve our judgment until...
Yeah, exactly.
He's getting investigated next week, so we shall find out then.
I'm assuming lengthy reports on HelloKpop.com, Phil?
Yes, check out the pictures. They're horrible.
Okay.
So check them out on HelloKpop.com and see what's trending there.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to see you down at K-Wave next week, aren't we?
You'll see me there. Come and say hello.
Thanks, Phil.
No worries. See you then.
Thank you, Sierra.
Thank you.
Don't be a stranger, right?
Yeah, I won't be a stranger. I'm down the road from you.
Well, that's scary.
Watching you.
Hashtag frightened.
Hashtag Disturbia.
Hashtag Phil.
Hashtag Afro Family.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Simon.
And I'm Martina.
And we're from EatYourKimchi.com.
Hi, I'm Nicola.
Hi, I'm Hugh.
And we're from
My Korean Husband.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
Use your sexy voice, Simon.
Asian Pop. Asian Pop Radio Australia.
Yes.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Interviews, news, reviews, and exclusives. On Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, 2SER in Sydney, and across the country on the Community Radio Network. This is Asian Pop Radio Australia.
With Goodbye Bye on Asian Pop Radio Australia, right across the Community Radio Network. Jay John with you this week, and my lovely co-host Jeanette will be back in the studio with me next week for our big 88th episode spectacular. We hope you can tune in because it's going to be an awesome show. We're giving away stacks of prizes, and the theme is luck. The theme is like giving and enjoying life together. So big lucky 88 show next week on Asian Pop Radio. Make sure you do tune in for it, however you usually do tune in, whether whether it be via Podomatic.com, iTunes, or across the network. Now, Helen, not everyone is going to be down at K-Wave for the K-pop. What other cultural events are going to be on offer?
We're going to have some traditional dancing, which is more based on the cultural aspect of it.
Yep.
We're also going to be showcasing Hanbok as well, like last year. But basically, you know, this year we do have a theme, Battle of the Fans, so it is very K-pop focused. So,
sure.
But there will be other things like food. I'm sure everyone would come down for the food.
That's always on my list of things to do.
Yep.
Can't wait for the food. Always going to be some yummy stuff, I'm sure. So if people aren't completely into the K-pop, or they don't really understand it, or not that interesting, it's still going to be a great cultural event to get down, and you're going to be able to learn a little about Korea while you're there.
There'll be a cultural event, and also, you know, the Korean Tourism Organization is going to be there.
Yep.
We also have like little clips here and there on the Fed Square big screen to let you know a bit more about Korea.
Is it something we can go there all as a family, like old and young?
Yes, definitely a family thing.
A great community event, and of course free. It's a free community event. Talk more about the food very, very soon. For now, let's get into some classic K-pop once again. One of my favourite sister tracks, it's Alone on Asian Pop Radio Australia. Asian Pop Radio Australia. Helen, we're expecting some yummy food at K-Wave, right?
Yes. This year, there's going to be a lot more food than last year. We have a lot more food stores, so definitely come down for the food.
Do you have a favourite Korean dish?
Now that you ask, it's escaped my mind what it's called. Tteokbokki?
Yeah.
And that's pretty spicy.
I think a lot of Korean food is basically not to completely satisfy, but to challenge you.
Yes.
And especially rice cake.
Yes, that's it, rice cake.
Rice cake is a favourite of mine, and I'm remember being in Seoul last year with my eyes just dripping water and being absolutely determined that I'm going to finish this rice cake. Well, I think that's about it for our K-Wave special. Thank you so much for joining me this week, Helen.
No worries. Can't wait
to see you down there next week, along with 40,000 other Melburnians and people from around the country.
Hopefully it gets up to that many people and hopefully it doesn't rain.
I think we'll be okay. And if people want to find out more information, remind us where they have to go to the website.
Yes, so it's kwavefestival.com, and you can follow us on Facebook. It's just facebook.com/SQEntertainment.
Awesome.
Because we don't actually have a separate Facebook for K-Wave.
All right, Helen, thanks for joining me and see you next week.
Thank you.
This has been Asian Pop Radio Australia, our big K-Wave special. And don't forget, next week, our 88th episode spectacular. Lots of prizes to give away. Make sure you get your friends to tune in and, of course, like our Facebook page, fb.com/Asian Pop Radio. Gonna go out with another K-pop classic track now from 2011. Possibly one of my favorite songs from my favorite band, Big Bang. This is Tonight on Asian Pop Radio.
Don't stop. Let's play. Okay, okay. Go, go, go.
난 미칠 것 같아. 아마 지친 것 같아. 왜 아냐 질린 것 같아. 벌써 따분해 시시해. 한 여자는 만족 못하는 bad boy. But I'm nice. 안 넘어가고는 못 배길 걸. 내
위로야 마. 언제부터였는지 가뭄이 없어진 우리. 이제 마치 짐 빠진 김 빠진 콜라같이 무감각해지던 느낌. 서로 향한 견눈질 귓가 사당에 난 목매지 않냐. Don't wanna try no more.
찾아 있어 만난 순간이 그리워. 그저 아픔에서 둔 걸 난 피하고 싶은 걸.
But you know that I love you girl.
질질 끄는 성격 say no. 차가운 입술로 널 얼어붙게 하는 나나나.
Take my soul, take my heart back. 새로운 설레임 그때 사랑은 내겐 어울리지 않아. Don't think too much.
너는 찾아서 왜요.
Beautiful night.